Adam, it is a pleasure to finally meet you face to face. I'm very excited to speak with you. Do me a favor, just let me know, like give me some background. I did read your email, but give me some background. Tell me who you are, where you're from, what do you do, and we'll get into it from there.
Sure. I'm 46. I'm married, have two kids. I have twins, boy girl twins that are going to be 8 on Thursday.
Oh, congrats. That's
Thank
exciting.
you. I can't believe that we got there to 8. So
Let me ask you this. What happened when you were told you were having twins? Were you like completely dumbfounded?
weirdly enough, I had a feeling that we were going to have twins for no
No
good reason.
way.
There were no twins in my family or anything like that. And I said to my wife before our first ultrasound, I said, "You know what? I just feel like we're gonna have twins." She's like, "You're full
Really?
of it. Don't worry about it. We're not having twins." So we get to the first ultrasound and the tech is scanning and she's, "Oh, there's one." She said, "Oh, and there's the other one." And my wife just looked over at me and flipped me off and said, "I don't believe this."
So your wife really was the one who was like taken aback, but you were just not surprised at all.
I was still surprised. I didn't think that I was actually going to be right. But it was definitely a pleasant surprise, and they are awesome. I
That's amazing.
can't say enough great things about them. They try your patience for sure, but they are awesome.
And do they get along with each other?
Yes, most of the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What so far, what's been the most difficult age?
I think probably around 6 or 7,
Okay.
because that's when they start to develop their own like real personalities and opinions on everything. And you lose that ability as a parent to just say, "This is what we're doing. This is where we're going. I'm going to get you dressed. This is what we're going to wear." And you just kind of lose that. And then it becomes you pick and choose your battles. Of, all right, if you want to wear that out of your house, that's fine. Are you at least wearing underwear? And some days the answer is yes, but some days it's also no.
I love that. All right, so you've got twins, wife, keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine. Two dogs. I'm the one that has the English Mastiffs.
Oh, yes. You said that in the Inner Circle Live the other day. Yes.
Yep. Curtis is adorable, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Keep you on your toes.
Oh my gosh. I'm exhausted. Like, it's funny, like having a toddler is hard and having a puppy is hard, but having both at the same time is really, I'm
Yes.
exhausted.
Yeah, we had our dogs before we had our kids. So we were navigating, they were two when we had our kids. So we're navigating introducing them to the kids and making sure that they're trained well and everything like that. And now they're awesome with the kids. They absolutely love their kids.
That's amazing. That's really nice.
Yeah, we're happy and lucky about that.
So you've got two mastiffs.
Yes. I'm originally from New Jersey, Northern New Jersey.
Oh, okay, nice.
Now call North Carolina home.
Okay, how do you like North Carolina?
It has its moments. I'm not a
Okay.
big fan of the heat, and especially as we're getting into the pollen season now, it's really bad.
Okay.
Your car is coated in yellow pollen
Yeah.
for the next couple of weeks.
Not fun.
No, definitely not.
Are
But
you near like the Charleston area? Or is that South Carolina?
yeah, I'm near the Raleigh, near Raleigh.
Not Raleigh. Yeah. I'm an idiot. Sorry. Yep. Okay, cool.
We've been down here for about 15 years now. Originally moved down for affordable housing, but
Okay.
now nothing is really affordable, so we kind of got
It
lucky and got in. But we love it. We both work at the same hospital. I'm a nurse, nurse educator now. My wife is an occupational therapist.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it's really good when we're able to see things about fitness and nutrition, and we're able to look at it not just from taking what one person says. We're able to look at it from the actual science behind it and being able to look at studies and look at research and actually understand it when people put things out. It's not just, "Oh, well, I'm this person, so you should listen to me," which isn't a bad thing. But with the plethora of people out there saying, "Come listen to me," sometimes it can be a little daunting. But that's one of the things that my wife and I love about you, is that you actually do things that are based in research, and it's not just pulling something out of your ass. And so that's something that we really appreciate.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. And I will say, like, you know, I think it's more than a little daunting for the average individual who does not have training in research, and even just knowing how to read research is a huge skill that I feel like those in the medical community, or even like someone like me who's not in the medical industry or community, but I was still classically taught how to read research and how to do this, we might even take it for granted, because in the day and age in which anyone can go online, excuse me, say they're an expert, and maybe they have the body that would convince people that they're an expert, and people just believe it at face value without having any understanding of, well, let's actually look at the research. And even now, it's crazy, because anybody, there's a study proving whatever you want it to prove. No matter Absolutely. What you want, there's a study proving it, which is why it's even more important to know how to read research and understand it, and to understand that one study among hundreds of studies, it's not even just that one study. You have to look at it over the preponderance of the research, which, unless you're classically trained, or unless you, not even classically, but unless you're trained and educated in this, it's very difficult to understand that on a deeper level.
Right. And you're looking at a study and it's like, all right, well, this isn't peer reviewed and this is just one study, but this is gospel. No, it's not.
Exactly.
Not when I can pull up seven peer reviewed ones that completely contradict what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. And one of the things that really stuck out to me, I'll never forget when I got to a point when I realized, I was like, scientists are humans too. And humans can lie as well, right?
Absolutely.
It's like, and that's one of those things where it's like, well, now you have to be even more critical with everything that you're reading. And obviously, one of the first things you look at is who's funding a study, right? Like who funded this. But even deeper than that, like, it's not uncommon to find scientists or researchers fudging data in order to prove the point that they wanted it to prove. Like, it's very, very, I'm not gonna say it's very common, but it's very not unheard of. Like, it happens relatively frequently enough to where it's like, this is something you have to be on your toes about.
Yeah, with all that data manipulation and, oh,
yes,
this doesn't fit what I want to have my outcome be, so we're just going to find a reason to discharge that one person from the study.
Yeah, exactly. So man, I've interrupted you so much already. I apologize. So you're a nurse educator. Your wife, what is she again?
Occupational therapist.
That's amazing. So keep going from there.
Yeah. So my background is emergency medicine. I did emergency medicine in one form or another for 20 years, between being an EMT and a paramedic, and then an ER nurse.
Wow.
So have the baggage that comes along with that.
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. That's like, yeah, I truly cannot even imagine.
I will give my plug for therapy to anyone who will listen. I think it has helped me immensely.
Good.
And I am a better person because of it. I used to carry a lot of, for lack of better words, demons with me of past patients and traumas. And just being able to unload all that onto a therapist has been immensely valuable to not just my own personal well-being and mental health, but also to my wife and my family as well.
So I love that.
Makes I'll scream sense. That from the rooftops to anyone that'll listen for that.
And are you still actively in therapy?
I am not.
Okay. Is that like, are you doing okay now? Do you want to go back into it? Like, where was that decision made?
I'm doing okay. I did that after I kind of realized I wasn't sleeping very well. I wasn't able to watch certain television shows without having flashbacks and nightmares. We sat down and tried to watch a Netflix special about how UCLA invented like the trauma programs and how they developed a lot of their first protocols. And we watched about a half hour of it. And that night I had bad nightmares and had trouble sleeping. And I'm like, wow, this is really affecting me a whole lot more than I ever thought it would.
Okay.
But
and you're good now, that you're doing well now.
I am good now. I am out of that lifestyle. I'm not in emergency medicine. I miss the people that I used to work with. But not the other stuff that used to come along with it.
Yeah, probably not many of the situations that inevitably come up as a result of that field.
No, definitely
Yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Seeing what people are able to do to each other and the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
And it changes you for one way or another, for better or the worse. It makes you open your eyes a little bit more, and it also makes you a little more jaded towards society. But it is what it is. That's what I chose, and I'm out of it now, and
Good.
it's just part of my history.
And now you're a husband and a father, and you can take all that experience and hopefully use it to improve your family and hopefully other people listening to the podcast right now as well. So that's amazing.
Absolutely. I hope so.
So talk to me, brother. Talk to me about what's going on with you, and is there any way that I can help?
Sure. So I've always been big.
Okay.
I'm currently 467 pounds.
Okay.
That's not my heaviest. My heaviest, I was 484.
Okay.
But I've lost down to about 416 at one point. I was with a kind of an online-based only program
Okay.
that worked really well for a while. I had actually a really good coach, but when I stalled, we tried going up and down on calories and everything like that, and I continued to stall. And then I think I probably just self-sabotaged. I said, "Fuck it, I'm not making any more progress. I may as well go back to eating things that I didn't get to eat while
Right.
on that program." And I'm like, well, I enjoy going to Dairy Queen periodically, and so I want to have an ice cream. And then it just kind of backslid. I inappropriately probably took it out on my coach and wasn't in that right mindset to let things happen the way that they should have, recognizing that there's going to be ups and downs. And so I'm ready to get back on the wagon. I'm working with an awesome trainer now. I see him once a week.
Good.
We do a lot of strength training. He's a good friend, and we just bullshit a lot while we're working out, which is great.
That's the best. That's the
So we have a
best.
good time. And I enjoy the workouts. I never thought that I'd be able to flip a tire, but last week I did three sets of four tire flips.
Let's go,
And it
dude.
was
That's
a lot of
amazing.
fun. And I really enjoyed it.
There's something about that kind of training that is just, it's exciting. Like tire flipping, ropes, like that's just fun. I'm glad you're doing that.
But I also know that there's that piece outside of the physical training that I need to focus on, because I'm not healthy where I am. I'm not happy where I am.
Okay.
And I think what really weighs it is that I want to be around for my kids. And I want to be there to walk my daughter down the aisle when she gets married.
Yep.
And to be there at my son's wedding and to be able to have fun with them and do that kind of things. And at the rate I'm going, I won't be. And that's not okay. And I know that I need to make a change.
I love that. It makes total
So.
sense. I love the thoughtful objectivity that you have, very self-aware of yourself, your own actions, behaviors. Like, I love that. And it's not, unfortunately, not as common as it should be. So I really like everything that you said and how you said it and how you were able to sort of reflect on your decisions, on your actions, things you've said, done. And I'm excited about that because I think that's necessary for long-term success. I think a lot of people, they're a little bit delusional about themselves and they don't realize they're delusional, which is dangerous. And then that's why they end up not making progress and blaming it on other things. So I think you're very self-aware, which is a huge advantage. Before we move forward into other questions, the first question I have is, do you get your blood work taken? Like, do you get your blood pressure done? Like, how is your health status right now? Aside from weight, how is your overall health?
My health is decent. My A1C is creeping up there. I
Okay.
just got a result of 6.5.
Okay.
That was about 3 months ago. My
Okay.
doctor is like, well, you have to have two consecutive to get a formal diagnosis of
Oh,
diabetes.
interesting.
And I'm just kind of dragging my feet because I don't want to go for that second one,
Yep.
because then you get labeled and all that other junk that comes along with it.
Yep.
I have high blood pressure,
Okay.
take some
Do you know what it
medication.
is?
I normally run with medication somewhere around the one low 140s over
Okay.
80 or so.
Okay.
So it's relatively managed.
Okay. Okay, good. So, and how do you feel like when you're walking, moving, exercising, how do joints feel? How's that?
I feel okay.
Okay.
I don't have any significant pain. I have the occasional low back pain
You okay?
from an injury back in high school.
Okay.
But for the most part, I have good mobility. I'm able to go into like a deep squat, especially when I'm doing like the tire flips and stuff like that.
Okay.
I'm able to lift with my legs and not with my back.
Good. Amazing. Amazing. Awesome. So what would you say that the number one thing you want to work on is getting your weight down? Is that like number one goal for right
Yep,
now? Okay.
absolutely.
And are
Because
you
I know
saying
that once I get the weight down, a lot of the other stuff will follow as well.
correct? Yeah, that's exactly right. 100%. And I know you said ultimate goal in the email, you said like 300, and then if you want to or can go further, great, but start with 300 as the main goal.
Yeah, I feel like
Okay.
something around those lines would be a healthy-ish weight because I'm
Yep.
6'6", so
Oh,
I'm
you're
not
tall as
a
fuck.
small guy
Okay.
as well. I mean, it'd be different if I was 5'4" and 467, but being
Correct.
6'6", I know that I will never have a frame that weighs 200 pounds. I'll be emaciated
Right.
and look awful.
Correct. That would not be good at 6'6"
Right.
at all. That would not be good. No, I think here's what I think. So you said you're 467 now. Obviously, I think like having an ultimate goal of 300 is fantastic. We can make intermediary goals if you'd like to do that as well. Obviously, 400 comes before 300, but either way, I think that's smart. It makes sense. So that's perfect. Now, before we even get into nutrition, before we even get there, let's just quickly stick with exercise because you said you are enjoying the strength training, which I like to, just start with the thing you really like. How is walking? How's steps? How's overall activity?
Overall activity is tough because I have a very sedentary job.
Okay.
I'm sitting at the desk most of the day. I do have a standing desk, so I'm able to at least get up and stretch or at least get some calories minimally burnt from standing versus
Yep.
seated. But we're trying to increase taking walks as a family just so that way
Good.
our kids can see healthy habits as opposed to unhealthy habits.
Super smart.
But
It sounds like one of the major, if not the major things for this is for your kids. Like you want to be there for your kids. You want to set a good example for your kids. Like your kids sound like they're the main motivator for this. Is that right?
absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, perfect. How often are your kids seeing you or participating in family walks?
We probably do it once, maybe twice on the weekends.
Okay.
Just because between work and sports and kids' sports and everything like that during the week, it's a lot more challenging to be able to get that time and homework, to get that time to say, hey, we're going to go for a half hour walk.
Makes total sense. What sports do they play?
Ryan plays baseball and we're going to get him into hockey soon.
Oh, yes, let's
And
go.
Emily is soccer.
Oh, dude, that's amazing. I love that. All great sports. I played baseball, I played soccer. Hockey is like my guilty pleasure sport that like I don't even think most people know. I love hockey. Like my Instagram feed is just fighting and hockey. Hockey is like I think it's the most badass sport that like it's the only sport that actually allows fighting that isn't actually fighting. And it's like watching these people skate, like it's just I love hockey. It's one of my favorite sports of all time. So how often are you bringing them to practice and watching them play? Like how often is that per week?
So Ryan is twice a week, Emily is once. I'm actually also assistant coaching on his baseball team. So I'm not just sitting on the bleachers watching or playing on my phone. I'm out there moving around as well. So that's at least getting me some movement.
Okay. Okay, that's good to know. And are you wearing a watch that tracks steps or no?
Yes, I have an Apple Watch.
Okay, do you know like on average your daily steps? Like do you have that number?
Somewhere around 2 to 3,000 or so is what
Okay.
I'm doing daily.
Perfect. Perfect. This is very good information for both of us to have. That's the number one thing that we're gonna do is increase that. That's like the number one priority, even before we get to nutrition. in my mind, for your overall health, for your A1C, for your blood pressure, and also, yes, for your weight loss, and also for setting a good example for your children, I want those steps up for sure. I don't want to start with 10,000. I don't even want to start with 7,500. I want to start with getting you above where you are now. I would like an average of between 4,000 to 5,000 steps per day.
Okay.
And I think what we're going to do is, for example, when you're at the soccer practice or the soccer game, like, I don't want you just standing and or seated. I want you, like, see if you can, like, try and walk once around the field as you watch. Like, walk once around the field, see how long that takes you. And it's not a rush. It's not, you don't have to make it fast. Just like leisurely walk around while you watch, while you're cheering on your daughter. That's great. But make sure you just walk around the field. One thing I've done with truck drivers, because I've worked with a fair number of truck drivers, and they have a very difficult time getting steps in.
Right.
Because we figured out how many times around the truck was 1 mile. So every time they stopped the truck, they had to walk around the truck that many times in order to hit 1 mile. So like for the soccer field, super simple. I would say like maybe try and walk around the field once per half. Just start with that.
Okay.
That would rack up some real steps.
Yeah.
And that way you walk around the first half, cool. Then you get to relax a little bit, watch the rest of the half, then walk around the second half and you're good and start there. And then who knows, maybe you end up, you know what, screw it, I'll do another lap. Awesome. But I would like you to end up between 4,000 to 5,000 on the day very consistently.
Okay.
That is automatically going to essentially almost double where you're at right now. It's going to help tremendously. It's going to be a huge, huge unlock for your health and your lifestyle. What do you think about that?
I think that's definitely doable.
Okay, cool. When you're coaching, or you're the assistant coach for baseball, for example, I know it's not as easy because now you're actually coaching. This is going to sound weird, but like when I'm just standing in one place and I need to get steps in, like I'll pace back and forth. Like, and I like, I don't know if you're behind the bench or if you're, are you on like the third baseline, first baseline? Like where are you when you're coaching?
So we just started up again. So we're just still in practices. So I'm kind of walking up and down the lines as everyone's throwing and warming up and doing batting practice, and I'm walking kind of around the field and helping people with fielding and stuff like that. So
I love that.
I'm usually in constant motion there.
That makes me super happy. I love that. Where do you think is an easy place for you to add steps in your day that you currently are not?
Probably lunch.
Okay, tell me more.
Because usually I'll eat and then I'll sit in my truck for a little bit and just kind of have some me time away from everything.
Yep.
And usually I'll scroll through my phone or watch Netflix or something like that.
Okay.
Instead of doing that, I could probably just put a book on or your podcast or someone's podcast and just walk through the parking deck.
I love that. I think it's super smart. If you like Netflix, and by all means, like, or, and listen, there are plenty of things on Netflix I like. If you want to like watch that while you walk in the parking deck, I might not be from a safety perspective a good idea. Like, but I don't think anyone's going to attack a 6'6" fucking dude either. But either way, maybe from a car perspective, not the smartest. Either way, I love the idea of getting out during lunch. If you want to put on a podcast or an audiobook, I'm big on audiobooks. I've been listening to a lot lately. I've got a big list I could give you if you want to listen to some good ones. But, I think that's super smart. And if you do that for, you have an hour long lunch.
Yes.
It, man, if you just did it for 15 or 20 minutes, even, you don't even have to do it the whole hour. I want you to sit down and enjoy your lunch and then add 15 to 20 minutes of walking, bro. That would add a significant amount of steps to that. Like it's, I think people very much underestimate how much you can get in 15 to 20 minutes.
Right.
So do you think that on a day-to-day basis, you could add that during your lunch?
I think I definitely could.
Awesome. I love that. And then I've spoken about this a bit before, but I've played around with this, like whether I have a pedometer on or my watch. For example, one thing I'll do when like, if let's say I'm not the one who goes grocery shopping, sometimes I'll go, sometimes my wife will go, but let's say my wife is the one that goes, or even if I'm bringing the groceries in the house, I used to do the thing that like, I think all men try and do, which is try and get them all in one. Like we don't take multiple trips.
Right.
But then I was like, let me see how many extra steps I get just from bringing one bag at a time in and out and in and out. bro, it adds up to like hundreds, if not over 1,000 steps, just depending on how big your grocery haul is. It's crazy. And so now I don't do the whole like farmer walk carry with them all in. Now I literally go one bag at a time and it adds a significant number of steps in. And so this is where I look for them wherever I can get them. And so I want, yes, definitely do the lunch thing at the soccer field. I want you to go around the soccer pitch once per half when you're coaching, pacing, moving around, getting as much movement as you can, searching for them, like consciously being aware of, could I be moving right now? Like if someone's like, if I don't know, if someone's coming up to you, hey, can we talk? Yeah, let's go on a walk. Like literally like in the office. Yeah, let's just walk down the hall for a second, trying to get more steps in. Cool, awesome. Something like that, simply like that, or you're at home, whatever, you're done with dinner. Hey, like, let's watch TV. You know what? Let's just 10 minutes. Let's get some steps in. I want to talk to you, hear how your day at school was. Something along the lines of like, let's just move together. And I think, especially now that your kids are, they're turning 8 on Thursday, you said, it's just be like, hey, like, let's go on a walk. And you don't have to say, like, I'm trying to lose weight if you don't want to. But you could literally just be like, I just like to move. I like to exercise. Like, it makes my body feel good when I move like this. Let's go on a walk together. I think it'd be really good for them to see. What do you think about that?
I think that's great. I mean, and one of my fears is that my son follows in my footsteps. And obviously every parent wants their child to be better than them and do better than them. And I don't want to be that role model that that's what he sees is, hey, let's hang out on the couch. Let's just sit in
Correct.
marinate and do nothing. Let's get up and be active and not get to the point that I'm at and stop that before it could even get anywhere close to it.
I think that's super smart. Again, very objective and self-aware. And going back to research, there's a tremendous amount of research showing that, and I know you know this probably just intuitively being a parent, but kids, when they watch what their parents do, often, especially when they're young, like, and they're like really like they looked at their parents as superheroes. It's like whatever the parent is doing, they really like aspire to that, which is why, like, for me personally, like, even my daughter is just 1.5, but like, I will regularly do, even when I'm not in the gym, like in the garage, even if I'm just in the living room, I'll randomly start doing shit, whether it's stretching or just like, I'm gonna do like hands elevated push-ups or whatever it is, not obsessively, but just so she can see I do it, just so she can see it. Because if she sees it, not only does she think she can do it, but like she wants to do it. Literally, she started doing this thing now where like we're like, hey, where are your guns? And she'll like hold up her arms and flex like that. Like, and so I'll do that to her where I'll just look at her and I'll just start flexing. I'll just do that. Like, just it's little things like that that I think truly do make a big difference. And so for your son, for your daughter, I think for them to see you actively making that change is going to be so helpful for them. And for your son to see you being like, hey, I feel better when I move. This is really good for me. It makes me feel better. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better person. For him to see and hear that, I think is going to be very beneficial for him. Are you all good on steps? How do you feel about that?
That sounds great. I mean, it's the little things at first that can make a bigger change.
Yes, correct. And it's funny because steps are one of those things where they seem little. I think it's the biggest thing. Like I truly believe with every ounce of my heart and soul, like they're the biggest thing. And we can look across populations, not just the United States, like across the world, the ones who walk the most. And because we see different diets, like we see like Italy versus Greece versus Japan, some of the longest living populations in the world, some of the healthiest populations in the world. Pretty dramatically different diets, Sweden among them as well, vastly different diets between Sweden, Greece, Japan, but they all walk a lot. Like they all walk a lot. And so it's for me, it's just the more we can get that up, the better. So starting off 4,000 to 5,000 steps daily. Once you get there, I would say maintaining that for at least a month, 2 months, trying to do that. And then cool, let's go to like 5,000 to 6,000 steps. And then I would say over the next year to get to a point where you're doing 7,500 steps very consistently, Bro, if you're getting 7,500 steps per day on average, like you're killing it. And you will see your A1C drop. You'll see your blood pressure drop. Like you'll see everything improve. I promise.
Looking forward to that.
What do you want to go over next? Do you want to discuss nutrition?
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
So I appreciate, I read your book, the Eat It book. I loved it because it kind of bucks the trend of a lot of what's out there that if you're looking for lack of better words, diet advice. And I appreciated that because I think that was my downfall on my other plan was that I enjoy going to Dairy Queen once a week or twice a week and getting something. And I would intentionally sacrifice nutrition during my day to make up for the calories that I would get from there to be able to wedge it in and say, well, I'm still at or below my caloric goal. Don't worry about what my fat looks like. We won't talk about that. But I'm below or at my caloric goal. And another issue that I have is I am a picky eater.
Interesting. Okay.
And so one of the reasons I got turned on to you is I was talking to my wife about greens and green powders and stuff like that. And she said, you know, I just saw a video about this. Let me send you this. Because she's always harping on me, hey, you should have more vegetables. And I'm not a big fan of eating. And I'm like, well, if I can get them from a powder, why not? And
That's why they're so marketable. They're like a billion-dollar industry. Like most people don't like vegetables.
And my other issue is getting enough protein. I remember one of the Facebook lives we had talked about the protein, and if you just took it at a 1-to-1, it's a ridiculous amount of protein that's almost
Yes.
unobtainable.
Yeah, not good. Don't do that.
And I was taught growing up, and so it's kind of ingrained into my head that if you're not hungry, don't eat.
Okay.
And so that's kind of been in my head, and it's like, well, I'm not hungry, so I don't want to have 16 ounces of chicken plus this, plus this, plus this. And then I just feel overstuffed.
Yep.
But I know that getting that protein is important throughout the day. And that's kind of that fine balance to me. And you can only have so many protein shakes or so
Yeah.
many,
Yeah.
Fairlife drinks, because I drink the one of those in the morning also, just to kick start my day with 30 grams of protein.
Love that. Those are delicious too.
Yes, I mean, in my breakfast is I'll have a serving of Cheerios,
Okay.
and I weigh it, so it is one serving with a cup of the 2% Fairlife milk.
Okay.
So I'm getting protein there, and then a Fairlife protein drink. So just on
Nice.
breakfast alone, I'm getting probably 50 something
Yeah.
grams of protein, if not a little bit more.
I love that. That's great.
But then it's working to continually get more throughout the day and having healthy lunches as opposed to quick processed shit. I'm not a huge leftover fan either.
Okay.
And so I used to have a job where I was a mile away from my house, so I could come home and make fresh sauteed chicken every day
Yep.
and spice it up, and it was great.
Yep.
And that's what I was doing when I was on that one plan where I dropped 60 something, 70 something pounds.
Yep.
But now I work about 40 minutes away from my house,
Right.
and so that's not a possibility anymore.
Okay.
So it's either going out and getting stuff from whether it's fast food or Whole Foods, which gets expensive after a while.
Yeah, Whole Foods is fucking expensive, bro.
Or I'm left to reheat stuff. And so that's just
Not enjoyable to you.
right.
Yeah.
And I don't get a lot of satisfaction from food.
Okay.
But I like to be Like that's one of the things that I like about the ice cream is for whatever reason, it's sugary and it's crunchy because I'll put like M&Ms or something in there.
Oh, that's let's go. Good
And so it
call.
satisfies that. And I think that's sometimes what I'm after is not necessarily the ice cream or something like that. It's that satisfaction when I eat that.
Okay, makes total sense. So if we were to look at your diet as a whole, it sounds like breakfast, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like breakfast is dialed. Is that right?
And dinner is barely dialed also.
Okay, so dinner's dialed. Okay, so talk to me about dinner.
Dinners, my wife tries to eat healthy. We have the occasional, well, we didn't go to the grocery store or hey, we forgot, so let's go out and get wings tonight. But for the most part, we set our menu on Saturday or Sunday morning. I'll go grocery shopping so that way we have the stuff in the house. And we have that plan already in place for what dinners are. And she works to eat healthy as well. And so, by lack of other options, unless I really wanted to make something myself or really go off the menu, I eat healthy for dinner. And most of the time, it's not a problem. It's not an issue. I enjoy it. Lunches kill me, though.
Interesting. So
It's
lunch is
really
the
the
real issue.
lunches.
Okay, so talk to me about and before one of the things I really appreciate is you've been so honest. So like be like one thing I don't do one-on-one coaching anymore. Now it's just all with the inner circle for right now. One thing I used to tell people when I would do a one-on-one coaching consult is because people would often be embarrassed and they'd be like they wouldn't tell me the full thing and I would be like, "Listen, there's nothing you can tell me that I haven't heard. Like I've heard the craziest shit around food you could ever imagine." So like I really want you to be fully forthright with like what's going on at lunch, how much are you having, from where, and we'll go from there.
So lunches, I'll do Chick-fil-A,
Okay, good
and
call. Love
not every
Chick-fil-A.
day,
Okay.
but usually once or twice a week, I'll have two spicy chicken sandwiches and a medium fry.
Dude, the spicy chicken sandwich is my favorite thing from
It's
Chick-fil-A.
amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. Okay. So two of those in a medium fry.
Yes,
And
with
what do
no
you have to
salt.
drink?
Water.
Okay.
Rarely do I drink anything other than water.
Okay. I mean,
I
that's
usually drink 3, 4 liters a day.
okay. Wow. I mean, dude, honestly, for 6'6", like that's not a crazy amount of food just to be like forthright. Like, it's definitely like we can improve, but that's not crazy, just so you know. So keep going.
Some days I'll get Chinese,
Okay.
and I'll get General Tso's chicken. Extra
That's
spicy. But I always ask for no vegetables because I'm not a broccoli fan.
Okay.
And usually I'll have a couple of spoonfuls of white rice,
Okay.
but nothing. They put, I think, two large scoops in there, but I usually only have a couple of spoonfuls of one.
Okay.
And then sometimes I'll work a day from home during the week and I'll have something around the house, or I'll go out and I'll get like some pizza slices or something like that.
Okay.
And I'll have like three pizza slices in a sitting.
Okay. Okay.
But for the most part, that's my lunch routine. I used to have throw in like a McDonald's or a Wendy's or a Burger King periodically, but
Yep.
trying to do better is kind of oxymoronic when I say I have Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A is good, man. Like if honestly, if I had to pick like a high quality fast food, like Chick-fil-A would be up there.
But I've really kind of bowed out on all of the others,
Yeah. Okay.
just because I enjoy the Chick-fil-A. I enjoy the spiciness of it. I like the flavor of it.
Yeah.
And it's why I said, well, if that's what I enjoy, that's what I'll have.
Okay. That makes total sense. So let's stick with that first, because I think this is low-hanging fruit that we can start picking off, and you identified it as the one that, like you said, breakfast is good, dinner's overall good. Let's figure out the lunches. So before I say anything, is there anything that you realistically think you can do sustainably, enjoyably, that would help you improve your lunch nutrition?
I mean, for sure, I can get one sandwich instead of two.
Okay.
That's definitely something in a small instead of a medium fry if I'm going
Okay.
to continue to do something like that. I can not get Chinese every week, maybe space it out to every other week or something like that.
Okay.
Or figure out some sort of other option.
I like all of that. So here's my thing. And I'm not saying that you're the same way. I'm going to give you how I am and we'll go from there. When I go to Chick-fil-A, or really anywhere, McDonald's, my main things are Chick-fil-A and McDonald's and Wendy's. Like those are my three top spots. And I'm not going there all the time. I probably only go once every like 4 to 6 months at this point. But either way, when I'm going to go get a fry, a French fry, like I'm getting at the very least a medium. If I get a small, I'm just fucking angry. Like a small French fry sucks. Let's be very honest. Like it sucks. It's just like, why even bother at that point? That's for me personally. So for me, when I go to one of those places, because again, I'm not going as often, I'm like, I'm going to enjoy it. Like I want to go and like make it something that's really worthwhile. Now, the good news is you're 6'6". You're a huge dude. I'm 5'4" on a good day. I went to the doctor the other day. They're like, you're 5'3". I was like, damn it, fuck. So like I'm a small dude, which means my caloric allotment is much smaller. You have a much greater caloric allotment, which means I still want us to figure out ways to focus on higher quality options. But that means that you don't need to get the small if that's just gonna fucking infuriate you. And if this isn't like something that will be sustainable over the long term. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, and that's what I need to make sure is that it's something that's sustainable.
Yes.
Because having 10 egg whites or something like that is just not something that I enjoy, and it's not sustainable. And I don't want to, I look at it a lot as a means to an end kind of thing.
Yes.
And I know that that's not how I should be looking at it.
Okay. Yep.
I should be
Smart.
looking at it as, yes, I'm working to get to my goal,
Yep.
but then I'm going to put it all right back on if I don't change my habits already.
Yes, correct. Dude, that's exactly right. I'm super glad you said that. It's exactly right. Now, I'm going to walk you through my thought process and I want to hear your honest thoughts on what I'm thinking. I want to get to a point in which getting something like the either General Tso's or like even something like a large fry and a burger or a spicy chicken sandwich is not something that's happening more than once a week. I want to get to a point in which that might be a once a week thing. So for example, if I'm going to Chick-fil-A, and so in the building that my wife and I used to live at, there's a Chick-fil-A literally attached to the building. And
That's just
so,
dangerous.
bro, dangerous. And so I would go multiple times a week. The deal I made with myself was I'm only going to get the spicy chicken sandwich and large fry once a week. Every other time I ended up getting like the grilled chicken nuggets. And I got two of those. So I got two grilled chicken nuggets, which are insanely low calorie, ridiculously high protein. They're actually like very good quality chicken. And I had them with the buffalo sauce. And like, that's what I would get there. Do I enjoy that as much as I enjoy the spicy chicken sandwich and large fry? Absolutely not. Of course not. But I know for a fact if I got the spicy chicken sandwich, large fry, every time I went there multiple times a week, I would have put on easily like 10, 15 pounds that would not have been good for me. So I want to get to a point in which getting that meal, getting whether it's the General Tso's or the two sandwiches with a large fry, whatever it is, I want it to be something a little bit more special rather than something that's more regular. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that doable for you or and be honest, like is that doable or not doable?
No, I think that's definitely something that's doable.
Okay,
It's just
okay.
it's shifting, doing that mind shift.
Yes.
And just doing it instead of falling back into previous routines that I know don't yield good results.
Correct. And it's not saying it's off limits. That's the last thing I want you to think. When you have it, I want you to enjoy the shit out of it. Like, I want you to be like, this is awesome. Like, I love this. This is great. And there's no guilt. I just don't want it to be your regular routine. I want it to be once a week type of a thing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Amazing. So do you think you could, like, if you had to choose between General Tso's or Chick-fil-A, like two sandwiches, like the regular meal that you just described, if you had to choose between one of those, like maybe 1 week you have one, another week you have the other, like, is, you think that's fair? That's doable?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. And you don't feel overly deprived or upset about that?
No.
You're honest with me, right?
Yeah, no. And I think it's just the convenience
yes,
factor.
Correct.
Do I enjoy it? Yes. I'd be lying if I said I didn't.
Of course.
But it's easy. It's convenient. It's 2-minute drive from work.
Yep.
So just changing that up, I think, is definitely something that could be easily done, because I have had the grilled chicken nuggets because that's what my daughter eats if we go there, and they are delicious. They are really good.
Yeah, dude, they're super good. And that is something that I'd be totally fine with you having on a multiple time a week basis. Like, there's no reason why you can't have that regularly. It's going to crush your protein intake. It'll fill you up. So that's what I would say, but so we have that hammered down, like once a week special meal, I will call that, like just something where you can fully enjoy it. What do you want to do for your other lunches? We'll call it, because it's, I'm assuming you said you're at the office 4 times a week, you said?
Yep.
Okay. So now so one of those 4 days, you have that special meal. Then now we have 3 other days. What do you see yourself doing on those 3 other days? Is it getting the grilled chicken nuggets? Is it bringing something from home? Is it going to Whole Foods? Like, what are you thinking?
I think I could do the grilled chicken nuggets at least once.
Love that. Perfect.
And then I could probably go to Whole Foods.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of necessarily the people at Whole Foods.
I haven't related to something like that in a long time. I'm with you. I'm very okay. We're on the same page. Okay.
And cool. I drive an F-150, so trying to navigate their fucking parking lot is a disaster. Because they want you to be driving a Prius when they get in there.
Bro, I drive a Tundra, so I'm with you as well.
But yeah, and then just kind of making good choices at their hot bar.
Yep.
And I like getting a Panera Caesar chicken salad as well.
Oh, dude, Panera salads with an apple. Like, that's my go-to when I go to Panera. I love that. Amazing. Yeah. What are some options from Whole Foods, either the hot bar or the cold bar, whatever it is? What are some options that you like?
It depends on the day. And I hate that they change it around, that it's not considered, because I'm a routine-based person.
Okay.
And so, like, if I could go in and just get the exact same thing every day, I'd be very happy with that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But I like their hamburgers. Their pulled pork isn't too bad.
Okay.
They have a garlic string beans that are good.
Yes. Yeah, those are good. Yep.
Their mashed potatoes aren't terrible.
Okay. Okay. Let's do this. So do you want to do special meal once a week, grilled nuggets once a week, Whole Foods once a week, and then what's for the other day?
Panera.
Panera. Oh, awesome, dude. That's amazing. Now, the one thing I'll say for the Whole Foods is just make it like try and make it fit on one plate. I know they have those like brown boxes that you put in, or do you have the brown? Is that what you use, right, when you go?
Usually I use the black containers, because I'm one of those people, I don't like my food touching.
Yeah. Perfect. Awesome. So actually, that's even better. Make sure you're getting protein in there. I want you to get some vegetables. If you get those string beans, like, amazing. And I would say, like, try and make it so carbs and fat would like about fit in your palm. Okay. So carbs and like mashed potatoes would fall under that, obviously. Making sure like carbs and fats fit in the size of your palm, everything else, protein, vegetables. So you have that like one special meal a week. I want you to look at Whole Foods as like the meal where you're almost going to challenge yourself to eat some fucking vegetables. Like, I
Okay.
want you, like, make it a challenge. If you have the string beans, awesome. If they have, I don't know, broccoli, cauliflower, whatever, like, give it a shot. Like, and here's what I say. I don't know many people who really enjoy vegetables. Like, I don't know anyone who is like, fuck yeah, vegetables. Like, really, no one, myself included. I'm like, and my wife makes some amazing salads. I'm never like, oh yes, I would way rather have a salad than pizza. Like, literally never. But it's just
Right.
like shit you've got to do. So I want you to look at that Whole Foods day as like a, I'm gonna challenge myself to eat some of the, because usually they make the vegetables taste pretty good too. So like challenging there. And then I love the Panera option as well. So we've really got the lunches nailed down. Now, do you think that this is something you can stick to consistently, be happy about it, and enjoy it?
I do think so. Yeah. Because
Okay.
it's all stuff that I already eat and stuff that I enjoy. It's just changing the regularity of it.
Yes.
Instead of going to Panera once, maybe once a month, going there once a week instead.
Yes.
And that's not a bad thing.
Not at all. I love that. Dude, that's amazing. This makes me incredibly happy. So we've got lunches nailed down, and you said that was like the part that was really difficult. How are your weekends?
Weekends are tough
Okay.
in terms of quantity of eating
Okay.
because I eat breakfast because my wife makes me during the week.
Okay.
If it was up to me, I'd just sit down with my Yeti cup of coffee and be happy.
Yeah.
But I know that she makes me eat breakfast, and we go out for breakfast with the kids once a week.
Okay. I love that.
And depending on where we go, will depend on if I'm getting eggs or sometimes a burger, depending
Okay.
on where we go. Lunch, I usually have to stop and really think about because with how we're running so frequently, even with the kids, sometimes it's, oh, here, have a snack instead of lunch. I mean, it's, here's a cheese stick, here's a protein bar or something like that. So I usually don't eat lunch,
Okay.
but then I'll eat dinner, whether it's I'm cooking or my wife is cooking. But there are also days when I'll have coffee, and if my wife is making biscuits for the kids, I'll grab one of the biscuits, put a little butter on it, and call it breakfast, and I'm good.
Yep.
Which I know isn't necessarily the best option in there either.
Dude, one biscuit is not a fucking problem.
Oh
Is
no,
it
I'm
a
not.
lot?
I'm not. I don't mean the biscuit, but like lack of other nutrients, lack of protein,
Yeah.
and stuff like that.
Makes total sense. And what I want to really emphasize here, and I actually do want to go back to breakfast because you spoke about your wife making me breakfast. Obviously, protein is super important. We know that. The most important thing for you right now is total calories. Like, in terms of priorities, calories is by far number one, like without question. So, if you had to choose, if you're like, hey, what's more important, protein or calories? 10 times out of 10, I will tell you calories is number one right now. When you get to 285 and you're shredded to bits, and you're like, hey, I want to do a bodybuilding competition and I want to like do, then we can talk about being like, hey, you're skimping on your protein. You're only getting 130 grams right now. Like, I really want you to bump it up so that you can like win this bodybuilding show. Until then, calories are without question far above and beyond the most important thing. So if you are low on protein, I don't care. As long as you hit your calories, as long as you're below the threshold. Does that make sense? So going back to breakfast, are you really not hungry in the morning?
Typically not
And are
overly
you
hungry.
more hungry at night?
I'm more noshy at night.
Okay.
But I don't really get like truly hungry until if I skip breakfast like on the weekends,
Yeah.
I don't really get hungry until usually around 11:30 and 12 o'clock.
Would you prefer to not eat breakfast, period?
I don't know what the right answer is, because as you when you're growing up, everyone said you have to have breakfast and it helps start your day. And I've heard you say it also.
No. You read my book. What did I say in my book?
Yeah, okay.
The breakfast is, if you're hungry for it,
mm-hmm.
amazing. The issue with not eating breakfast mainly comes with people who have binge eating issues. And that is when people will skip breakfast, and they skip breakfast and then they end up sometimes even skipping lunch, and they delay their meal until they end up binging at night because they've waited all day to eat, and then it becomes a very uncontrollable binge.
Mm-hmm.
Many people, many inner circle members, intermittent fast, which is essentially what we're talking about, like where they skip breakfast,
right,
is totally fine. It's what my concern from what you've said is that you're eating at a time in which you aren't hungry to begin with. So now you're not even hungry, so you're eating. And then that actually ends up giving you fewer calories to play with later in the day when you might be more hungry or noshy or whatever. It's like, if you could not eat breakfast simply because you don't want to and you're not hungry anyway, and then it gives you an extra 400 to 500 calories to play with at a time when you are more noshy, like that makes a lot of sense to me. With that being said, let's just say we get to a point where, like, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to eat breakfast. When you go out to eat with your kids and your family over the weekend, you better fucking eat breakfast. Like, I want you to eat breakfast with your family when you're out. I don't want right. you to be like, I'm intermittent fasting. Like, I don't want to eat. Like, that's not the game we're playing. But if during the week or at any point in time, you're like, I'm not hungry for breakfast. I don't need it. I would rather wait until lunch. There is zero problem with that whatsoever. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So based off of everything that we've said, how do you feel going forward? How do you feel about where we are, about the plan? What are your thoughts?
I think it sounds great. I mean, like you said, it's kind of low-hanging fruit, changing a couple of things here and there, increasing steps and changing the nutrition around with the lunch and making different and better choices. And it's just a matter of changing the mindset. And they're all simple, not compromising anything necessarily to like, well, you can't have this, just you can have it, just not as frequently.
Yes.
And I think that that's extremely beneficial and very doable.
Dude, this makes me so happy. I love this. Here's what I want to do, and I want to see if you're okay with it. I would like to have a follow-up call with you in 3 months.
Okay.
In which we do the same thing. We get on another call and I see how you're doing. We have a real-time talk. We see, all right, how's your nutrition been? How's your strength training been? How's your steps been going? I want you to, have you been taking notes on what we've been talking about or no?
Yep.
Awesome. So at the next call, I just want you to write down like, okay, these are the steps that I was supposed to be taking. This is like the nutrition plan. This is the lunch plan. This is the everything that we spoke about, so that when we come back in 3 months, we hop another call, we can briefly rehash what we spoke about today.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to hear about your progress, what's going well, what you're struggling with, and see if we can continue to work together and see if I can continue to provide any insight and see how you're doing and answer any questions that you might have. Is that something you're willing to do?
Absolutely. That would be amazing. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Of course. So what I want you to do when we get off this call is just email Kat, because I know you were communicated to schedule this, and be like, hey, Jordan said he wanted to do a follow-up in 3 months. And she'll schedule that with you. And then we'll hop on and we'll stay in touch. And I just want to make sure that this is something that you're sticking to and it's enjoyable and sustainable, and inevitably you'll end up having questions down the road. And I want to be here for you if and when that happens.
Sounds good, Jordan. I really appreciate it. Thank you so very much.
Of course, man. It's my pleasure. Do you want to tell people, and you don't have to, I like to give people the opportunity. Do you want to tell people where they can follow you if they would like to, or no?
Sure. I'm on Facebook. I'm Adam Davey.
Okay.
Davey. I don't use my real name because my beliefs and posts don't always align with my employer.
Okay. Okay. Are like political
And
posts?
yes.
Awesome. Okay, so be very clear, like if anyone is going to be upset at potentially seeing a political post that you disagree with, just don't even bother. It's okay. You don't have to
Yep.
say anything.
But if someone wants to message me, I am more than happy to talk to anybody. Tag me in the inner circle stuff. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
I love it.
Or if anyone wants to chat, that's fine. Friend request, you might see some things you may not necessarily like or
I love
appreciate,
it. I
depending
love the
on which side
honesty.
of the spectrum you fall on.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. It's crazy we live in a world that has to be said, but it is what
I
it is.
completely agree.
Man, I'm really excited about this. I really appreciate you. I'm very excited to see how everything goes. If you need anything, you know how to reach me, but no matter what, you and I are talking in 3 months, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, brother. Thank you. Have
I
a
appreciate
wonderful
it,
day.
Jordan.
I'll
Thanks
talk to you
again.
soon. Give your family my love.
All right, well, do you as well, and enjoy only having one kid while you still can, and with a puppy.
Thank you, man. Have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jordan. You too. Take care.